This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in this hour. More from Week 14. So funny when you think about how things are now a little different in the America in the American Football Conference, the AFC. Now that the New England Patriots are no longer one of the top dogs and a team that is always the Super Bowl threat, but we've just replaced the Patriots with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all we did. We just said, nope, now you get the mantle. Because remember when the Patriots would have these great seasons, or they'd have seasons where you knew that they were good and they knew they were going to be hard to beat, and then they'd have that one game where they didn't look good. They had that one game where they looked off, and that one game where Brady and Belichick and Josh McDaniels and the defense didn't seem to be on the same page. They'd still find a way to win, and you're like, man, that's going to be a tough out. That's Kansas City right now. They've taken that over. Now at 12-1 on top of the AFC. You look around the rest of the NFC. I mean, look, the Packers are a decent team. The Saints are a decent team. The Steelers have got a zillion problems. The Bills look like a ton of fun. There's a great storyline in Cleveland. Tennessee may run on top of you. Indianapolis does, you know, bends but never breaks, and the Dolphins play some pretty stingy defense. Tom Brady's down in Tampa Bay. Seattle keeps winning. The Rams are pretty good. But is anybody Kansas City good? No, no one's Kansas City good. No one's Kansas City good like the way Kansas City was yesterday when they were bad. That's the difference. No other team could recover from four turnovers like the Chiefs did yesterday against the Dolphins. And props to the Dolphins. That's actually a pretty good fight for what they did to Patrick Mahomes, forcing those who got to watch that game to watch Patrick Mahomes really struggle, see a defense that really put the clamps on him. But again, too many weapons. When you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, they just say, well, what options do we have? Let's just use those. And those are the options that lead to the victory. Man, I feel bad for teams that feel like they have to play perfect to win, because they're going to go up a team that doesn't have to play perfect to beat you. And that's where the Kansas City Chiefs are. The good, the bad, and the dub is coming up, and we'll continue this hour with a lot from Week 14 in the NFL, plus all the goodies from the weekend in college football as well. Stick around. Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Alrighty, good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Tuesday, Monday morning, I should say. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't want to go that far in advance.
I don't want to read Tuesday's good, the bad, the dumb yet.
Yeah, because I'm... Well, the holidays are coming, so my brain is all, like, holiday fried.
Yeah, why does that happen?
You know how you get, like, where you're like, Christmas is, like, on a Wednesday, and you're like, it's a Friday. No, it's a Tuesday, and you get confused because the holidays are coming? What, Christmas is a Friday this year, right?
Yes.
See, I'm just, but by the time, before I go away for the holiday break, I'll think it's Saturday.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, you'll be like, where is he? And he'll be like, oh, he thought it was Saturday.
why am I showing up to work today?
Exactly. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day, for weeks now, there's been this strange boom plaguing this New Jersey town. The town's called Hammonton.
Yes, I heard this story, yeah.
And we finally got to the bottom of what this sonic boom sound was, and a farmer invented this giant cannon that all it does is just blast an airwave. I guess that's the appropriately way to call it.
Okay.
To the sky.
And he was just doing that?
No, it helps to control the weather, to break up clouds.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's
or
what
is that is that some sort of farmer's almanac science that he was told?
Maybe. But I don't know how you can control weather.
Man.
Right? Haven't we learned that you can't control weather? Because if that's the thing, then, you know, we would have stopped all the hurricanes that keep happening. Or
that sounds like a Jesse Ventura, like, conspiracy theory, doesn't it? They manufacture weather guns to go up and break up the sky.
Yeah.
Like, that would be amazing. But if you could do that, control the weather with a horn.
I guess it's been somewhat successful because he's doing it to protect his crops. And, you know, so far a storm really hasn't hit his area.
You need somebody like a reporter or a science reporter to go sit with him and go, so when did you fire these guns? And then look at weather patterns for the days that he said he fired it to see what it was like and if it achieved the desired result.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
So it fires shockwaves that can travel 300,000 feet and are allegedly able to split clouds apart.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think something like that is probably illegal to own, right?
He's firing sonic waves
into the sky at random?
Here it is. There's nothing illegal about it.
Really?
I'm not saying it's legal because people have called on to the police to investigate, and the police said there's nothing illegal. He's not using like bombs or anything like that. He literally is just using air. A shockwave of air to push the clouds away.
And here where Tony...
And it's gas-powered.
All right, here's where Tony the Dum-Dum comes in.
All right.
This doesn't affect, like, airplanes in the sky, does it, if it hits the airplane?
That's a good question.
Like, he's putting it up 300,000 feet?
Well, it
travels. 30,000 feet.
It travels 300,000 feet.
Right, so it affects the clouds, right? And you got a plane. Let's say a plane is flying overhead and going to Tampa.
300,000 feet. Wouldn't that, like, reach outer space?
I would think so, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure how far it is to get out to outer space.
Absolutely it would.
But the only thing that he could break... They said the only rule that he could break would be if he did it after 10 p.m. when there's like a noise ordinance.
Wow.
But he shuts it off at 8 and he doesn't do it past 8 o'clock.
So the man can't fire his weather-changing sonic gun after hours because people are sleeping.
Right.
That's basically where we're coming down with this story.
Yeah.
Forget the weather-changing sonic rifle gun horn at all. Just the fact that when you fire that bad boy, it better be during the daytime when people are at work.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's wild.
He said he started doing it because he was bored from COVID.
What a great answer. What a great answer.
And so he's been doing it because he uses it to control the weather and ward off hailstorms that would otherwise endanger his crops.
That leads me to the other question. That answer leads me to this other question before we get to the bad. When 2021 and 2022 hit, how many breakthroughs in science and technology will we be affected by from people who said the exact same thing that guy said? I was locked down for quarantine, so I built a better mousetrap with this.
Yeah.
I came up with a solution for this.
There's got to be more of those out there.
I thought about time travel, and now I've built this machine. I've thought about advancements in cancer treatments. I've advanced, anything that come because people are trying to occupy their brain with COVID, and now they've got a little bit more time to process. You know what? Maybe there is an easier way to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I need. I need something to. I need some like fairy dust to sprinkle over my dog's. You know what? In the backyard.
Yeah, right.
I'm tired of picking up that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you need something. Somebody just comes up with a way to do that.
Can I just sprinkle something over it and it just magically dissolves?
Yeah,
disappears.
You'd be a trillionaire if you came up with that item. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. First half's not really that bad. Okay. It was announced yesterday: the Cleveland Indians, after 105 years, will no longer be known as the Cleveland Indians.
Right.
So that's not, I guess that's not, I mean, it's going to be weird.
It is going to be weird.
But I understand, the movement. I mean, I don't know if Blackhawks are next or the Chiefs. What other, the Seminoles?
Who's next, right?
You know, well, the Blackhawks and the Seminoles, they've always said, well, it's more of an honor thing. I guess
the Seminoles have gotten approval.
Yeah. Indians, I guess I never really thought it was that bad, but
no.
I guess times are changing, Tony.
There's a second part to that?
Yeah, it's some of the team names that they're coming up with.
Oh, gotcha.
Not too bad, but one was Cleveland Rocks.
I saw that with a statue of Drew Carey. On the outside, I saw that.
I don't mind that one. Cleveland Spiders seems dumb.
That seems very dumb.
But my favorite so far was fans of the Washington football team said Cleveland baseball team.
Why not Cleveland baseball team?
But they did announce that there's a name. They'll probably come up or release a name sometime this week.
Here's my problem with this, and it goes to the kind of hypocrisy of it. Here's what I don't like. I don't like when when Cleveland does this, and then they kind of go speak this thing of, we're on the forefront of change. This is an offensive name. If you think it's an offensive name today, you've probably thought it was offensive name 25, 30, yeah, 40, 50 years. All right. It's only because you're seeing where the winds of change are going financially that makes you stand on the soapbox to lecture everybody else about it now. Right? I mean, Washington did not come to a thought process of, let's get rid of Redskins and let's go with something else, until all the major corporations that pay you decided they weren't going to pay you anymore unless you change the name. Cleveland may not have been getting that pressure yet, but they probably felt the wind coming towards them and then went and said, yeah, we better get ahead of this ship before some bad financial decisions are made. Let's do that. But then the press release makes it sound like, how dare you even think that we should be this anymore? When it's likely they wouldn't have changed it if they didn't feel like the culture was changing. Like, you're not doing it for any other reason than there's a financial breeze that's blowing your way that says maybe we should get rid of this stuff. Because this argument about the Indians and the Reds, it's been going on forever. It's been going on forever. You didn't just stumble upon this in 2020. You've had a chance to change it many times. You decided not to. Same with the Redskins. They decided to go with something else this year. But that debate's been going on for 30 years. Pretty much ever since Dan Snyder bought the team, they've been trying to get him to change it. Finally changes it 20, 21 years later. That's the thing that bothers me, is that the press release is written like in this condescending way where most of us are like, yeah, if you want to change it, change it. But don't give us the holier-than-thou speech. You had plenty of – it's your thing. You're not forcing a change. You are forcing a change because others are forcing it on you, and you feel like, oh, financially, this is going to stink for us. And in an age of smaller budgets and people watching where they're putting their dollars, maybe putting it with your baseball team where there are other options isn't a viable option anymore. So that's my soapbox. How's that?
But that's how that got changed, right?
I challenged their soapbox with my soapbox, and let's see what happened. They stood on theirs, I stood on mine.
100% agree that, you know, the owners had a moment of clarity over the weekend.
Yeah, right. Something is happening.
Yeah. And just, I mean, it's not going to be, I may not be as public as the Washington football teams was.
Yeah, because remember FedEx was like, we're going to pull out of everything.
Not our field anymore.
And they're like, whoa, okay, that's like $200 million.
Yeah.
Like, we better do something here to save $200 million.
Yeah, I need to pocket that, not spend it on the team. I need to pocket that.
That's true. That's right. That's right. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
This might be one of the weirdest ones we've had. One of the boldest ones, I'll say.
Okay.
Well. A husband took his wife out for a lunch recently, leading up to Christmas, and presented her with a 2-page performance review.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, who told him this was a good idea?
I don't know. I really don't know. The report included grades for 18 aspects of their home life, including bedroom performance.
I would have paid any amount of money to sit next to that table.
Yeah. The one thing she did say, she did comment on, was that she said it was very smart of her husband to take her to a public place.
Oh, no question. Because she would have been answering questions like this. I don't know what happened to him. He just disappeared.
They have, they've been married for 18 years.
Oh, even worse.
They have 5 kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, 14 years. I'm sorry, 14 years.
Who told him this?
I have no
idea. Who told him this was smart?
Because basically, I mean, he graded her performance, like this. What this article said, he graded her performance in their marriage as if he were her employer.
If I tried that, there'd be no show tomorrow. You'd have to do it by yourself.
No, no, no. You'd be on the streets.
I'd be in wood chipper heaven if that ever happened to me, if I did that to my wife.
Yeah, he wrapped up his jaw-dropping review with a performance improvement plan.
Oh, it gets better. This just gets better.
Which encouraged his wife to acknowledge that sometimes husbands are right, too.
Oh,
no.
Good God.
No, not when you do this. You might have ruined it for all of us.
That is.
Now, she was flattered that she was graded excellent in some areas. It doesn't matter.
No. No, you could grade her excellent in every category,
but
that one is going to stick out. Like, first of all, let's be honest. He could have graded her excellent in everything. And just
everything.
The idea of evaluation performance would get you killed.
Can you imagine going to your wife and saying, hey, listen, honey, I got an 18 page. I got 18 topics here. We're going to review real quick.
Yeah.
You scored beautifully. Straight A's. But we got to go over these. I'm reviewing your performance as my wife.
Oh, my God. Man, oh man.
I don't know if there was a big fat ring at the end or some sort of little something that's sparkling that comes in a small box, but there better been.
I want to find out what happened to this couple weeks later. I want to see where this is going.
Yeah, did she take his advice
to
become a better wife and mom to his five kids?
God. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help install your wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We'd love to hear from you. Michael pointing out that the Cleveland Spiders was the name of the team from 1887 to 1899. I should have remembered that. So that's why you're getting the Cleveland Spiders. Do we have to go that far back in the memory banks to relive the good old days?
I don't know. I kind of like Cleveland Rocks.
Yeah, I kind of like Cleveland Rocks, too.
Because, I mean, I guess the song will get really old.
No, I don't, because that song is a little old.
If you start every baseball game with that song.
Even though the show was based in Cleveland, it was like a love song of Drew Carey to his hometown rather than a theme for the TV show. That was kind of weird. But, yeah, Cleveland Rocks is okay. But they already got the Rockies, and they use rocks a lot.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So, I don't, you want to go maybe something. I don't know. Just, I'm trying to think of something that would be unique, and it feels like there isn't any anymore. It feels like everything is like, well.
Everything's taken.
Be careful.
What's Cleveland known for?
Like, if you were the Cleveland Pitbulls, they'd be like, well, you know, Pitbulls get a bad rap. Okay, all right, I won't do that anymore. How about the Murder Hornets? Remember we did the Murder Hornets minor league team? You should be Murder Hornets, but then maybe the Murder Hornets really aren't really a threat like we thought they were going to be. And then you're like, well, that was kind of stupid. That was very 2020-ish, 5-6 years later. So we're like, why are they called the Murder Hornets? Yeah, we thought these insects were going to kill us all, but they never really turned into anything. Oh, okay. Why are we buying uniforms with that name on it? I don't know. Just as our local team, kid. Don't worry about it. But this is going to be tough for a team to be like, oh, God, we got to come up with a new stuff. And then here's the dilemma. This is why Washington was trying to figure out its color scheme. Like, they were like, do we stay with burgundy and gold or we go with the new color scheme? Because if you stay burgundy and gold, if you stay with the same color scheme as the old name, then you almost are inviting people to show up in the old gear, right? They're just going to be like, well, you're burgundy and gold, but you may not be the Redskins anymore, but I'll just wear the jacket I bought for $130 2 years ago when you were. And if you're the team, you're like, yeah, we kind of don't want you to do that because we kind of changed the name for a reason. So if we change our colors from burgundy and gold to, let's say, purple and light green, like the Green Goblin, then you're going to look out of place. And that might be the same here, but I guess maybe, I don't know, if you're Cleveland baseball, do you worry about that? Where if you just keep the same sort of colors, but people are like, yeah, but I'm going to still wear Chief Wahoo on the back of my jacket because it's the same thing. Or do you have to change colors completely? These are questions now you have to ask an entire marketing department. These are like, do we really want to do that or not? Or what are we going to do? And where are we going to go? I guess the plan is, from what I read, they're going to stay the Indians for 1 year and then change the name to be in everything for 2022?
Okay.
Is that accurate, or that felt like I read that yesterday? But if they don't, they just go Cleveland. Because here's the thing: if it's offensive right now, why don't you just say it's done?
Right.
Like if you're gonna get on again, if you're gonna write a press release saying how offensive it is, then don't keep it for a year. Say, all right, it's offensive, and we're ending it right now. Everything about the Indians is gone. We're removing it today. We're now the Cleveland baseball team. We don't know what we're going to be in the future, so don't ask. We'll let you know when we let you know, and we'll go from there. But if you're just going to keep it for 1 year until you get the marketing right, well, that's not really reacting to it at all. It's basically just saying, we know it's offensive, but you got to understand it's business. Well, if it's offensive and you're going to stand on the soapbox that it's an outrage, then change it.
Trying to figure out I found an article, 12 reasons why Cleveland is the most unique city in America. Maybe you can get a name off of that.
What kind of uniqueness does it have?
It's the birthplace of the last son of Krypton.
Okay.
Superman was created. By two guys in high school.
In Cleveland?
Yes.
Well, what? Well, stop right there. You don't even have to do the other 11. There's got to be something
out of that, right?
We can roll with that.
Or they have, that's the headquarters of American Greetings. All the cards.
Yeah, that's not as...
No?
It doesn't deliver that same sort of powerful punch. Like the Cleveland love poems? Is that what we're kind of leaning towards?
There we go.
Yeah, no.
So would you say Cleveland Men of Steel?
That's, yeah, I don't know.
They couldn't do that because, I mean, that's too much of their hated rivals. One,
yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to touch over the over to the Pittsburgh sort of thing. What about something to do with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Something rockish, something around that.
Well, that's Cleveland Rocks, but
yeah, that's right. Cleveland Rocks, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Drew Carey Show. It all kind of blends together. Yeah,
I mean, you can't call them Lakers or Lake or anything like that. That's already been done.
Well, Michael's got Cleveland Burning Rivers. That's not bad. Cleveland Lake on Fire. How about that one? I don't know. I mean, it's what else is on that list? Anything good? Anything else?
No, Margaret Hamilton was born there.
Oh, not the Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch of the West?
Yeah.
Who was much, there. Much, much nicer in person than that witch she played and made it sure she knew it. People knew it.
Jesse Owens was born there.
Oh, that's, yeah, okay, that's not bad.
We know Drew Carey. Wasn't also Steve Harvey is from there.
How about this? You want to pay homage to Drew Carey? How about the Cleveland, give me a good game that the Price is Right has? Not Plinko, because that sounds weird, but.
Cleveland Plinko?
Yeah, that sounds a little bizarre.
Cleveland, what's that?
Showcase?
What's the.
Showdown?
What's the yodeling guy?
Oh, yeah, the mountain climber game. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that might be a stretch.
Cleveland, all you need is a dollar to win a car.
That's right. Oh, Cleveland.
What about Cleveland hole in two?
That's right.
How about hole in one?
Never hole in one.
They always give you a second chance.
That's right. Bob Barker used to drain that putt every time.
Well, if Steve Harvey's there, why not Cleveland feud?
That's a good one. Yeah, not bad.
The feud.
Why doesn't Cleveland just go, screw it, we're not honoring people from this town. We got our own thing to do.
Got our own thing.
Yeah. Just call yourself the Cleveland Kangaroos. And go, why kangaroos? And go, why not?
Yeah, I don't want them to go like, don't go like Cleveland Atlas.
Yeah. No. They should say.
Don't go weird.
They should say, we are the Cleveland hippopotamuses. Just go, whatever. What do you want? What do you want from us?
Cleveland miserable. 300 days out of the year.
Yeah, or Cleveland ain't going to win a World Series anytime soon.
Yeah, changing our name's not going to. You know what that means, though? Cleveland Indians won't have won a World Series since, what was it, 1920 1940 something?
Yeah.
That's it. Cleveland Indians never won one. Major League's they're going to have to remake Major Leagues.
That's a good idea. Wild Things. How about the Wild Things?
There you go.
Cleveland Wild Things.
Cleveland Wild Things.
That's not bad. I think we just solved it. It took us a segment, but we solved it.
Well, it's what a think tank does. You just go around in circles.
Go around in circles. We just gave a perfect example of that. More from the NFL next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Today's show brought to you by The Athletic, delivering every sports story that matters. They have full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, and it provides the breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories that you can't find anywhere else. They got the national names like Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones, all personalized and ad-free. The Athletic, the sports coverage you need. This holiday season, from now until the end of the year, spread the joy of better sports coverage. Give an annual subscription to The Athletic. Get one free. One price, two subscriptions, every team. Same rooting interests are not required. Head to theathletic.com/BOGO radio to unwrap this deal. Again, that's theathletic.com/BOGO radio. All right, as we continue to look at the NFL, the Steelers did clinch a playoff spot yesterday, and they did it early, so thank God that occurred. Still baffled, but nevertheless, they finally locked that in despite the egg that they laid in Buffalo. So basically, if you're looking at the playoff picture in the AFC, this is what you have. You have the Chiefs at number one. They would get a bye, and then you'd have the Steelers, Bills, and Titans, all division winners. Now, tonight's game does really matter. Cleveland and Baltimore are playing, and so we don't get a full picture of the AFC yet, because the Browns are 5, Indianapolis is 6, Miami is 7, the Ravens a win tonight would tie them with the Dolphins at 8-5. On the outside looking in would be the Raiders. I think New England's a little too far back. Not officially eliminated, but just a little too far back. In the NFC, you've got Green Bay right now owning the tiebreaker against the Saints in a head-to-head. And then you've got the Saints, Rams, and Washington. Those are your top four seeds there. And then here's where the three wildcard teams get interesting. You got Seattle at 9-4, Tampa Bay at 8-5, and then Arizona's in at 7-6. Minnesota's 8 at 6-7. Bears are 6-7, but those two teams are not done yet. So we still have some work to do in the NFC. So tonight's game between Cleveland and Baltimore should be really interesting and does lay into the playoff race. The Browns have won 4 in a row going into this game tonight, but you can make the argument that outside of the game against Tennessee, they played teams on the downward spiral of playing in 2020, the Texans, the Eagles, and Jaguars. The game against the Titans stands out because it really was the first win this season against a really quality opponent in which they took it to them. I mean, really took it to the Titans. That game at 41-35 was not as close as that score indicates. They blew them out, led by 31, sort of called off the dogs a little bit and kind of cruised with that 31-point lead, because no matter what you do, blowing a 31-point lead is really hard to do in the NFL. I mean, you have to be throwing pick sixes and getting really sloppy with the football. But if you maintain some sort of reasonable offensive drives without doing anything crazy, you should still walk away with the victory, and that's what they did against the Titans. The Ravens are kind of, have been a team that has been affected by COVID recently. You know, they went to played the Steelers and had this depleted team that was a mess, but they, beat a weak Cowboys team to end a 3-game losing skid. You know, if the Browns were to win tonight and set themselves up with that 10th win of the season, like I said earlier this hour, if I'm the Steelers, I'm concerned. I've got too many problems offensively that I'm not exactly fixing right now. I can't fix it. I can't turn the running game the Steelers are lacking into some juggernaut team that's going to control the game on the ground. We're starting to see that Father Time is kicking into Roethlisberger's arm. He can't throw downfield. The offense has been created to throw short passes, and now everybody's reading that. That's what Buffalo did last night. The one pick six that he threw, the defender on the play was just begging Roethlisberger to throw the ball, and he did. That's what's happening to the Steelers' offense. It's very one-dimensional. They can't run the ball, and because Roethlisberger wants to throw it quickly, what he's left with is short passes, and teams are starting to defend that well. If Cleveland wins this game, now you want to talk about a one-dimensional team. We've been talking about that about Cleveland up until the game against the Titans, which was... Here is this Cleveland team, again, winning games, but how are they winning it? Bad weather and running the ball exclusively, right? Just running the ball. Don't let Baker Mayfield do anything crazy. Well, when Baker Mayfield does throw the ball well and they have the running game going, they're a really hard team to beat. Now, again, when we get to this time of a year where we start pegging teams for the postseason, we start evaluating what kind of threat they're going to be in the playoffs. Well, we saw the Titans last year. We didn't need Ryan Tannehill to do anything awesome, and the Titans were able to win some games, beating New England and Baltimore on the road. Derrick Henry did the workload, and Tannehill didn't make any mistakes. If you're Cleveland, that could be the recipe that works in the AFC, up until a point where you're facing, you know, Kansas City or whoever. But that's a recipe, that's a dangerous recipe if that's what they do. And instead of last year looking at a Titans team as an example, saying, well, Tannehill didn't have to do much, Baker Mayfield might be the quarterback that does just enough and even more, and yet they still can run the ball. We'll see tonight. I still have my doubts about this Cleveland team. I'm not jumping up on the bandwagon yet. I'm still iffy on them. Now, Baltimore isn't the world-beating team that we saw last year, but they're still a good enough team to give Cleveland a fight. And if Cleveland pulls this off tonight and they win their fifth in a row, and now they're 10-3, and now we're going to have a different conversation about them in terms of chasing Pittsburgh for that AFC North division. Because what worries me about the Steelers' schedule is not the Monday night game against Cincinnati. It's the last two games of the year. Home against Indianapolis, they're starting to play well, and they looked really good against the Raiders and the Browns at the end of the season. They throttled the Browns earlier this year, but this is not the same Browns team. This is a different Browns team, and Ben is a different quarterback, and the Steelers' offense is much different. You go back to the Browns when the Steelers went to 6-0, and they won 38-7 in a dominating game, and just made easy work of Cleveland. Because I remember that game because I don't get the Steelers very, at all, and sometimes they do, but when they're on local TV, I don't. And I went to a wing place to go watch it, and it wasn't one of those games. I thought it was going to be a really good matchup. Cleveland had been okay, and I thought it was a good matchup, and it wasn't. Steelers annihilate them. But now we get to the end of the year, and this is going to be different, and it could be for the division lead. So we shall see. So that's tonight's game and tonight's evaluation of the NFL. Overall, though, I didn't, looking over the early games, nothing really popped. Oh, there was one game that did pop, but it had no value whatsoever. That was Mitch Trubisky looking fantastic against the Houston Texans.
No, I think that was more Texans.
Oh, no, no. Trubisky threw three touchdowns. He looked decent. He looked pretty good.
You know what that was? That was for all the naysayers who were like, oh, the Bears should have drafted Deshaun Watson. The Bears should have drafted
Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
There was one writer who said that this is the Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan draft question now from that class. Right? So why did you draft Sam Bowie? Uh-huh.
Did Sam Bowie ever have a game like that against Michael Jordan?
Right. Did he throw three touchdown passes? But yeah, you're right. Like, this was one of those kind of games where, again, that was the narrative going in, right? And then Trubisky does this kind of thing that makes you go, okay, cool, we didn't have to have that conversation in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are better, but at least for this game, we don't have to swim in the muck the whole time on this one. So, yeah, good for Mitch
Trubisky. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was.
Trubisky, he looked like an NFL quarterback. I'm sorry. I'm not used to seeing that.
I know. The Colts, I brought that up. The Colts did look pretty good against the Raiders. They put a nice hurt on the Colts are such a... I don't want to say a weird team because
they
almost play negative.
I was thinking the same way. I was thinking the same thing.
Like they're good. They're really good defensively, and but Phillip Rivers, we said this so many times. He hasn't been like the be all end all, but he had a good game. I mean, but you go from the standpoint of, is Rivers the reason why they're 9-4? No, he's not. Jonathan Taylor is. The defense is. Rivers does just enough, right? He gives you good performances, and he's a leader.
He's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
This season. He's managing the game.
He's Peyton Manning in his final year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I was a little worried there. My God.
Well, Phillip Rivers, Charger quarterback. I love him.
But they won six of their last eight.
Better than Peyton.
Yeah.
No, but he's a game manager at this point. I mean, they pull him out when it's third and short. They keep pulling him out and putting in Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, but Jonathan Taylor's running fantastic.
He is. And that defense, I mean, I don't know who's on the defense.
Defense is good.
But the defense is good.
And that's, again, they're on the Steelers schedule. I'm a little nervous about Indianapolis. But it's been fun because you know, when you look at the NFC East, right, we talk about how the ineptitude of the NFC East, but somebody's got to win the division. You look at the AFC South, and these are two really good teams, Tennessee and Indianapolis. One of them is going to be a wild card team. One of them is not going to win the division, and they're both 9-4.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Tennessee took care of Jacksonville, but it's the way they took care of Jacksonville, which is Derrick Henry steamrolled him for 215 yards, and Derrick Henry doesn't look tired. Right? I mean, it was great. It's great to see the Titans going like, hey, we're ready. We're ready for the postseason thing we do where we just keep giving you Derrick Henry and you can't tackle him. Let's see how far this takes us. And they've got, this is the best Titans receiving core I have seen since I moved to Nashville about 10 years ago. This receiving core is great.
Yeah, that catch by A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown is fantastic.
I go every time I see in the stat sheet and it says A. Brown, I'm like, oh, Antonio?
Yeah, right? Yeah. A.J. Brown is great. I mean, and again, they've got a number of other guys that can threaten you as well. So,
and I mean, you know, and who would have thought? Wasn't it just a couple years ago? We weren't making fun of Alabama running backs, but it's like Alabama has always had these great players offensively, but they never do anything.
Yeah, well, it's mostly quarterbacks that have come out.
Mostly quarterbacks. I mean, running backs, I mean, they've had a couple here and there, but a lot of times there's usually more hype to it for whatever reason.
I mean, Mark Henry had a pretty good career, but wasn't, I mean, he was waiting out on a contract or something, right?
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's phenomenal.
He's phenomenal. I mean, just ran over them. I mean
last guy in the world you'd ever want to tackle. I mean, it does remind me of like Christian Okoye running full speed at you. Just get out of the way.
There's like the combination of big and strong and fast and just too hard to tackle, like Earl Campbell in a way, right? I mean, there's that big back that's got speed but is just a pain to drag down. And when you have to do it over and over and over again, you just wear down. It's both the physicality of it and the mentality of it, right? Because when you're talking about when they call it a game of inches and all those cliches, especially in a postseason where when you're on the defensive side and he keeps running towards you, and your job every play is to find a way to bring him down, and it's a challenge physically and mentally, he keeps picking up an extra yard, an extra yard, an extra yard, and the next thing you know, he's 52 yards down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like that's what happens. And that's where the Tennessee Titans can threaten you. But the thing is, they don't have a quarterback that just hands the ball off too. He can throw, and he's got threatening wide receivers on the other end of that too. So it's fun to watch these two teams battle it out in the South where they're playing really good football, right? It's the same thing with the Steelers and Browns now. With the Steelers sort of coming back down a bit, the Browns and the Steelers could have a good, fun battle in the North. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, as we continue with Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call in this hour, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life, Rocket can. All right, going over the, again, we've been going over week 14 in the NFL. I think I've hit every game but one. That is the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers. And for good reason. The Broncos win 32-27, but if a tree falls in the forest, right? Buccaneers in Minnesota touched on Dan Bailey missing field goals and extra points, but Tom Brady has got the Buccaneers at 8-5.
Yep. Back to Super Bowl winning.
Yep, back to Super Bowl winning. As long as he has a better record than New England, I guess it's all people care about. I don't know. The Buccaneers should make the playoffs. They shouldn't collapse, right?
Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs.
They got the Falcons, Lions, and Falcons again. That should be three in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe the Falcons sneak one by playing them twice.
No, I don't think so. The Falcons are a team of destiny this year.
Holy cow, think about this for a second. That's an easy schedule. And I don't like saying that. I don't like guaranteeing games in the NFL. We know how it works. I get it. But they should win these three games. Despite all of the ups and downs and the coach and quarterback, that's an 11-5 season.
Yep.
With drama. Really? That's amazing. They should write a book about that season if that's the way that goes.
Nah, Disney will make a movie.
Right. I mean, say what you will about Tom Brady this and Brady that and Bruce Arians. If they close out on a three-game win streak against three teams with losing records, 11-5 for a team that was like, oh, I don't know about them. That's incredible. That's great for Brady.
Well, I mean, that and 1 year removed from being a laughingstock.
Right.
Last year, all eyes were on the final game. Didn't they play the Falcons in the final game?
Who, the Buccaneers?
I think they did. Because all eyes were on them, or not them really, but on Jameis Winston.
Right.
To get the record, to be the only 30-30 man.
That's right. They did play Atlanta. It was overtime, and it was a walk-off overtime ending as he got the record. That's right.
So we laughed at them, and now we're like, okay, you know, you guys are a legit football team.
Yeah, they'll go from 7-9 and a joke to 11-5 playoff
and
threat.
They got to. I mean, they are living in Titletown.
That's
Titletown
right.
Titletown South.
That's right. Stanley Cup, American League pennant. You know, better own it.
Yeah, NFL playoff team.
See what one 43-year-old quarterback can do for you if you treat him right. Right?
And you add a few pieces, you know.
Give him what he wants.
Former tight end, a former wide receiver, a discarded running back.
That's right.
You can add
some pieces and put the team together. Band of misfits, those Buccaneers. Jake Asman shows next. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.